We are men. We do man things.
I shaved my beard today with the broad head of an axe after I made love to my woman.
I used lasers.
Who is an adult seal.
Oh my God. Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I am G.
I'm Dustin.
We open the whole thing up with the Megas History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2. Welcome back, Dustin. Hey, it's been a while, man.
I miss your face. I miss your face and my face at the same place,
oh,
baby.
Oh, we got the same place with the two-face. We are the duo that hosts this show. The show is about dropping nerd and geek knowledge to you every Wednesday night. Admittedly, we fell off the wagon at some point. It was a series of, we did music-only shows. We did, it's cold outside, Louisiana shows.
Yeah.
And then it was the same show. Technical difficulties happened because I did come in over the holidays because you were away.
I was in Hawaii visiting my family.
Did it freeze there?
No.
It froze here.
Well, it was a beautiful...
Hawaii ever freeze?
No. It was 78 degrees literally
the whole
time.
We should do
the
show
time.
There.
Yeah. I mean, everything's like... When I came back to, like... As soon as I got off the plane in New Orleans, I went, no.
It's back.
It hurts.
Oh, man. So we had a couple shows where we weren't in the studio, so to speak, but we're back now. As always, you know, this is the show where we talk about all that nerd and that good stuff, we get it to you. We have a website, exppoints.com, if you want to.
Because there's just not enough video game podcasts. There's a real gap in the market.
that's sarcasm. I know what you're talking about. Exppoints.com, double tap that P. You can look at all of our news reviews, and we are posting our audio. I am working through the backlog right now. I want to work through the backlog completely. It's almost a full year worth of the backlog now.
It's like my biological dad saying, I'm going to pick you up.
I'm going to pick you
and
up,
here
son.
I am on my curbside just waiting here, with my basketball.
Still in Louisiana.
Still there.
Where you at, Dad?
My mom looks wistfully out the window. And
He's coming. He's coming one day.
When he gets those logs done.
When he posts all that stuff to the blog. I am working on it, though. I mean, it's not a lie. I actually so the thing was, I'm like, okay, maybe it's cold outside. I guess I should edit some logs. But then I go through the backlog. But then the power went out. So it's like, I guess I'll go up to the station and do it. And then I look outside and everything's iced over. I'm like, I guess I'll just hold this dog and not freeze to death.
Yeah. It snowed again.
Yeah, it snowed twice. And so the first snow, it stuck around for like 4 days. And then the roads were good after the third day, but people didn't get that memo. So they were driving after the first day. And I-12 and I-10 were just like crazy. And then the second time it snowed, I think it canceled the first days of class. Like the first week of class, we canceled the first 3 days of class. So that was crazy.
Yeah, that was a.
It was a really
strange
thing.
That was the second
thing.
Snow. Yeah,
we don't really get that. And for people that are listening, I know we have some people listening in Florida and some people in Pennsylvania, and I assume Canadians also listen to this show.
Because we got people in
Canadian internet is the same internet, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found that out the other day. The Canadian internet is also the same internet we have.
Oh, cool.
It's not like North Korea internet.
I found out people are listening in Serbia.
What?
Yeah, I was doing the coaches show, and we got a message like, we're listening in Serbia.
Nice.
Which I don't know was like, hey, cool, or like, we're listening in Serbia.
We are tracking every Southeastern.
Be like a more KGB to think it's the first thing.
Yeah, that's nice, because it's a community at that point. Speaking of community, we have a social media hub at exppoints.com/social. Go ahead and go to Facebook. That's got our Facebook, our Twitter, our Google Plus, our, did I say Twitter?
You said to
YouTube's also their Steam community. Fun fact, we run in an Ark server. I don't know if you've ever played Ark Survival Evolved. It's pretty much the Jurassic Park on an island.
You can poop any time in that game.
Yes, you just hold down zero or period and you just poop. And you,
there's also dinosaurs.
Oh, there's dinosaurs, and you can, you can do that. Mm-hmm. We're running our server. It is publicly available. If you look in the Arc browser, it's the EXP Points server. That's us, and the password is, you guessed it, EXP Points. All lowercase. We're all about security.
I'm gonna have to Russell Crowe beautiful mind this thing.
Right. Let's cut to two songs. Come back. Talk about what we did, I guess, for the last year of our lives.
Can I do a plug real quick?
Yeah.
Radio FX. It's a new app we got on our phone. We're integrating with the station. It is. I got it this morning. It's literally the easiest way to listen to the station.
Awesome.
Radio FX KSLU. Boom. It's your station.
It's not hard to listen via the web browser, but on your phone, I always wanted an app to do that.
Oh yeah, Radio FX is that app, and it goes straight to the. And it's integrated with the Facebook and the and it's going to be with the Instagram page and everything.
Awesome.
But you can see the Facebook post and everything and message other people listening to the KSLU, that station.
Awesome. That's like really
a big
cool
message board. Oh, yeah. Radio FX is pretty cool.
Back in my day, we just had the FM dial.
Yeah.
So now we have on your phone.
And if you wanted a message board, was like, I think the paper was editorial here. And my personal opinion.
That was it. We had the columns. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
What are the two songs here?
This is And the Songbird Sings by Dan Bull and then Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. We'll catch you after the break. This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
And the songbird sings. This for the voice of man. Big warm fuzzy secret heart. Could not be like you. Could not be like you.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
You just heard Code Monkey. Are you saying you think you're still Dustin?
It's been such a long time. I imagine like when I say that, and then like I lose focus and all of a sudden I'm in a white room, and then Lawrence Fishburne's there. He's like, is it really so hard to believe?
Right. He's holding Duracells, and you're like, what's
your hair
going
is
on?
Different.
You just heard Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton, and The Songbird Sings by Dan Bull was the thing we opened it up with. Let's talk about what we talked about over the break for a second.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I was saying, we were talking about Arma. That's how we opened it up because we're nerds. And we talk about video games.
Yeah.
And then we talked about how you got a flight stick, a HOTAS.
Arma 3 being a very technical military shooter,
yes,
flying planes. So having the flight stick where I don't have to memorize all these different keys and everything, and it's just I button mapped it and seamlessly integrated
right
with the analog rotations, everything like that. I'm flying it like an actual thing. And my favorite vehicle in that, I don't even think it's part of the main Arma 3 game. It's a DLC, but I use it in every DLC, but is the A-10 Warthog.
Right.
Because I have played with the other fighter jets and everything like that. They are not as good for close air support, and you do a lot of close air support in Arma 3 because you're integrated with the ground guys and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yeah, it's a shame they're getting rid of it. And they were like, no, they're not.
I heard something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a thing. They were talking about getting rid of it. But apparently you said that John McCain was like, no.
Senator John McCain he made a very good point, was that the A-10 Warthog really hasn't been replaced as far. It's just old.
Yeah, there's nothing else out there that does what it does as good as it does what it does.
Right.
And we still need it to do what it's doing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's still a need. It still solves a problem, and nothing else is solving the problem better, cheaper, whatever.
Exactly. And they were like, oh, the F-22, but like that's a very expensive weapon system.
Well, they have five versions of it. I mean,
yeah.
It takes off vertically? Why does it do that, though? Like, just because it's a cool, you cut a Harrier in half and you plug it into an F-12. Okay, cool. I guess.
Sometimes you just need a really big flying gun to show up quickly.
Yes.
And there's the A-10. Has such a, and not only that, you'd also be getting rid of the A-10's reputation. The A-10, when it shows up, changes the combat situation before it's even fired its weapon. I mean, people are like, oh, well, pack it in, A-10's
we're done.
And it's so good at close air support because you could just stock it with all this rockets and stuff in the world.
I wasn't aware that you were into like flight sims or military sims, but there's this really cool platform called DSC World.
Oh, it's very complicated.
Yes, it's super, super complicated. And they have A-10. Instead of buying the game, you buy the planes.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend $20 to buy like an F-22 or an F-14 or an A-10 or whatever, and then you get an actual... I guess sort of a manual or on how to start the plane. You're like, well, can't I just turn the key? And you're like, no, dude, there's no keys. You have to start your batteries, and you have to start your generators, and then you have to start primer one and primer two and your pre-engine sequence.
You'll be dangerous if you could get a plane flying and can actually take off on that. You're dangerously close to being able to actually do that.
Right. Well, and that's I was talking to a buddy of mine who was a pilot in the military very recently, and he looked at it and he goes, you know, there are some things they kind of fudged a little bit on, but like because it's like you know, we don't, no one wants to know how that works. Like, no one's going to tell him how that works. But he goes, everything else, like, generally speaking, if you got, like, a Cessna, because Cessnas are everywhere, you can just buy a Cessna right now. If you got the Cessna DLC and he played it and he goes, this is accurate. This is 100% accurate. This is how you would start, how you would fly a Cessna. And, you know, yeah, okay, it's not taking into account the atmosphere change or the altitude change.
That's experience.
But that's experience. Fly. But as far as, like, the textbook, this could be, you could build a housing around this and put the screens in with the windows and give yourself a stick, and you are good to fly.
You were rocking and rolling. I'll tell you that the flight stick I have for that, I've never been able to successfully, like, land and, like, take off and do all the actually, like, aim things. But, like, I use, like, the rotating the stick for my pedals.
Okay. Yeah. So you can kind of, like, you can change your yaw.
I can change my yaw and everything. And it's just like, I'm like, okay, if I was in an online thing and they were like, we need someone to apply out of water, I'm like, I can actually do it. Very effectively.
That's how I felt in the Battlefield games. I would never use the mouse. I would always use the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like, people wouldn't like using the keyboard, but I thought that was absolutely fine with me. And I was able to do a ground dusting. I was able to I was able to kill enemies just by landing on them. You know, I was able to do really cool things. I was very effective at it. And I realized that, like, no, I'm actually kind of good at this game, this specific game, because of that play style. And that's really cool that you found, like, using HOTAS or whatever. I use it for Elite Dangerous, and I love it. I couldn't play it without it.
Yeah.
So I definitely understand. And we both have the same one with, like, the Thrustmaster.
Yeah,
it's got the
throttle on the left and everything. Yep. We got the exact same one.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love that thing. It's and it's, like, $50, and it's plastic, but, I mean, don't, like, break it in half, and it'll be fine.
Oh, no, it feels like it's pretty solid and sturdy stuff.
Maybe I shouldn't rough mine up so much. let's talk about what happened over the break with both of us. So you went to Hawaii, but you did more than that. Like, you actually did some video gamey stuff. So go through your newfound glory.
Okay, so
you bit the bullet. A few things. You have a gaming PC. You got into Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm, yes,
and then Destiny 2 immediately started to be terrible.
Apparently, as soon as I purchased
Justin
it,
Justin shows up to the game.
As soon as I show up to the game, and I have the Call of Osiris thing.
Yep.
Because I have no desire to.
You say you have the DLC, though.
I have the DLC.
Did you go through it?
Oh, no, I haven't gone through any.
Okay.
Because I'd like to play that with people socially. I wish there was somebody I knew.
Man, he's giving me these eyes. He's giving me these hateful eyes.
Dead stare
That's
at
it.
You.
I'm sorry.
But no, there was, like, it felt like mechanically the shooting is very good.
Yeah.
With Destiny 2. It's a loot grind.
It's like a Borderlands with less guns and also less humor, and it looks really pretty.
Uh-huh.
But
Borderlands 2 also has a good skill tree going on too.
Yeah, this is very, like, once you get the skill tree and it's done, like, there's nowhere else to really go.
Then it's a loot grind after that.
Yeah.
Agreed, that's a loot grind, but it also has a lot of fun energy. It's got a lot of goofy stuff. Destiny 2 doesn't really have any of that.
Well, it's better than Destiny 1. Destiny 1 for a while took itself very, very seriously.
Yeah.
And Destiny 2, I don't feel, does. I think Destiny 2, and later Destiny 1, like the end of Destiny 1, that really was what I was hoping Destiny 2 would be. But the complaints from the community is that, well, you took Destiny 1 and you evolved it to end game Destiny 1, and then you reset back to original Destiny 1 and just added 1 to it, and 1 plus 1 makes 2. So now you have Destiny 2.
That's a great
I went back and I played Destiny 1, and I have all the DLC, and I was like, wow, there's so many mechanics that are here, and this is great content. And now I go to Destiny 2, and I expect sort of that engine to progress into Destiny 2, and it just didn't.
Yeah.
I think that's what people complained about a little bit. Yeah. But you got the game, you played it a little bit.
I got a heavy discount on it, so I was like, oh, just grab it. It was like, I went to G2A when it was like at $30, so they were selling it for way cheaper, so I was like, I'll pick it up. I haven't really gone back to it. I have done some substantial upgrades to my home console, the living room area.
Your entertainment area.
So I bit the bullet. And I had my old Xbox One Day One edition. This thing.
Okay. All right.
So it was kind of. It was starting to kind of feel
heavily
its age.
Outdated.
It was starting to feel its
current
age.
Gen, but not current gen one. It's current gen, or that's current gen one, not current gen three.
Yeah. You know. He's like got his hands on his hips looking down.
Yeah, it's, you know.
So I was like, if I'm going to upgrade my console, I'm not going to get the Xbox One Slim. I'm going to go ahead and get the Xbox One X.
Might as well.
It's the most powerful console, and I know Red Dead Redemption 2 was delayed to help optimize, right? They didn't say that, but I'm calling it now.
Yeah.
I know that the Project Scorpio and the delay of Red Dead 2 kind of happening within 2 to 3 weeks of each other. Coincidence, I don't believe in.
No.
I don't believe that's a coincidence.
No, I mean, because I guess it was Grand Theft Auto 5 wasn't fully optimized on launch for the Xbox. It ran fine on PC. Well, eventually, a year later. But it ran fine on PS4.
FXA's problem still on that thing, believe it or not.
On Xbox?
On Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC. If you have XFAA turned on, your frame rate goes to complete garbage.
Because
NVIDIA's working... Because NVIDIA's trying to do its own sampling technique while the game's trying to do its own.
So you got to turn it off on NVIDIA's side in order to turn it on GTA's side. Or you got to turn it off on GTA's side.
Or vice versa. Yeah. It's one of those two is how I fixed it.
Don't turn it on both. You'll have FXAA.
Right, because it does multi...
Fixa.
Right. It's NVIDIA's doing multi-sampling, and the system's not wanting to do that, and they're yelling at each other, so then your frame rate goes to garbage.
Anyway, I interrupted you three times now, so
tell
your story, man.
I interrupt people all the time, so I never
You got the Project Scorpio, Rockstar.
So that's the thing is... They probably were doing optimization because they're like, oh, well, if the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, we should optimize the game for those and everything like that. And I'm like, if I'm going to... Because there's no PC release date for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right.
And Red Dead Redemption is... it's in my top five. And it's Skyrim, Witcher 3, Red Dead, Portal 2, and Half-Life 2. Those are the top five.
It's a solid five.
It's a basic girl solid
none
five.
None of those are Zelda, though.
None of those are Zelda. I mean, Breath of the Wild is like six. Don't get me wrong. It's just, but it's like everything is tied for 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's hard for me to say what's your favorite game. I'm like, in what genre? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, top five is even hard because you're like, in what genres?
Yeah.
You know?
So there are two games I bought. One isn't optimized for Xbox One X at all, but the other one is. Monster Hunter World was optimized for Xbox One X. And you can change. Now you have graphics settings now.
Can we call it Xbonix?
Xbonix. Yes.
We're going to say Xbonix from now on.
Xbonix.
Or Xbonix.
Get the bone. All right. Sorry. you want a bone in your living room?
Cutting room floor in Microsoft.
This is Microsoft's like, you want a bone in your living room? And you're like, what?
I was actually thinking about getting Monster Hunter World for PC, but
yeah, the PC release date is, I don't know when.
It's like, yeah, it's like middle of the year, I think, like Q2, Q3.
And that's, I don't want to get that because... most of my friends play on console.
That's the thing. Like, I don't play on console that much, which is why I think I was telling you that I just sort of came full circle back to Breath of the Wild. I was playing Mass Effect Andromeda, unfortunately, for a long time. And I enjoyed the game, but I played a lot of time on that. And when Zelda came out, so I bought a Switch and I bought Zelda. And I didn't play any Zelda because it's an involved game. You really have to get into it. I would like get out of the cave, the shrine.
Yeah,
or,
the first
or restoration.
Trying to restoration.
Yeah, I'd step out and it would be like, na na na, Breath of the Wild. I'm like, cool, and then I'm like, I'm bored.
Really?
I'd go down and I'd talk to the old man. I'm like, yeah, I'm bored. You know, I went through the first thing to get the magnet, the lifting power thing. And that was it. That's as far as I got until 2 weeks ago, I think. But now I've got the glidey thing.
Ooh.
And I've gone down to the other place.
Oh, yeah, the game
and
really
I've looked
opens
at some
up.
Stuff and things.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a pole that I can stab
Dance
people
on?
With.
Oh, a spear.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't have that DLC.
You're a supple, shirtless body. What could we possibly... So Monster Hunter World on Xbox One X, you can change certain things. You can optimize for resolution. So if you have a 4K TV... You can keep it where it's consistent with the 4K resolution, and you can optimize for frame rate. I have a 1080p TV. I don't really feel the need for a 4K at all because I can't tell the difference. They're like, it's 4K. I'm like, my eyes
good on it.
So I was like, okay, that's nice, but I put it on frame rate, and my goodness, that's silky smooth.
I I realize, so I could play some game. It doesn't matter if it's at 30 frames or 40 frames or 50 frames or 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be a consistent XX frames. If it's I play Ark on full blown mega mode or whatever, epic mode, and that's either Unreal or CryEngine, mm-hmm. and it looks gorgeous. It's a beautiful game. So I say Unreal or Crysis. So the Unreal Engine is what they use on Macs. In a weird thing, on the Mac version, which is totally compatible with the server, everybody can play, it's cross-platform, but on the Mac version, it's Unreal, and on the Windows version, I think it's Cry.
Yeah.
It's really strange that they wrote the same game in two separate engines so that they can, and how compatible they are, it's great.
That's pretty cool.
I checked Monster Hunter World PC, it's Autumn 2018, that's what they said
recently. Are you kidding me?
Autumn 2018. So.
I'm not waiting that long.
It'll be in the fall.
But it's pretty much like... And that's the thing. It's like with the Xbox One X, I would be kicking myself because I'm like, well, I can't play it on the best graphics if I have it on Xbox One X. But that's not the case anymore because now you can optimize graphic settings as well.
Yeah.
So whatever that issue is, and it's basically it's a mid-range good PC now. Probably on a little bit on the
I would say
upper
it's, it, I would
middle.
Say it's like 70% if on a number line between 0 and 100 being I guess a 1080i mm-hmm. or a 1080 Ti or something, which graphics cards, good luck trying to buy one of those now. Crypto miners, I've been trying to buy a 1080 Ti FTW3, there's so many letters there, mm-hmm. ICX blah 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 for probably the last 2 months, and I get, hey, we're in stock, and then as soon as I get the email, we're in stock. Cool. I go and I check. They're out of stock.
Yeah.
Crypto miners are just killing it.
But
no, the neat, I would say it's a 70%. It's a 7 out of 10 as far as best graphics from a 0 to a 1080 Ti.
Yeah.
It's interesting though that they haven't done sort of what maybe they learned their lesson by watching Nintendo do this with like the memory expansion and the Rumble packs being mm-hmm. accessories. But it would be really neat if they could sell like a slide in graphics card module or something.
That was the original plan, actually.
Really?
That was when I remember working at GameStop, and they were giving us information about that, and we were kind of talking about it. The idea was that the Xbox One X would be slightly more modular. That's why it looks the way it looks.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting was. What we're going to see now is instead of coming out with individual consoles, the console is the platform, mm-hmm. and then the platform accepts different types of modules. Now, I mean, you lose some to making it modular.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, maybe you don't want to buy disc games anymore, so you can not have a disc drive in there. And maybe that's like the default accessory, but maybe you can instead have just like a bigger hard drive, and you could plug that in there instead of the disc.
That would be very cool.
Or you know, maybe I think moving forward, it might be more cost effective. I mean, certainly not right now, but like instead of viewing discs, I mean, just giving them codes, and having them download. But you have to have a way for them to. Imagine a console where there are no more discs.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I would be reluctant to do that. But making it modular, you could have people...
Like, or have some type of attachment that like allows you to play discs, but like from now on, like, maybe make the coded versions of the games cheaper a little bit. Like maybe take it and say you want a full-blown, you know, CD game or DVD game or Blu-ray game, like that'll be $65. Mm-hmm. If you want the code, though, it'll just be $60.
Yeah.
And you'll get everything with it. Maybe we'll give you, you know, a little bit extra, but you use the code, and that'll prevent trade-ins.
And distribute.
It'll destroy GameStop, places like GameStop.
GameStop deserves it.
Well, I know GameStop stock, the stock has been dropping recently.
Well, they've treated their employees. I used to work there. They treat employees like garbage. Not to be whatever. They don't do raises. There's no real.
Well, and I mean, it's sort of one of those jobs that's like a transition job, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, sort of.
If you treat it like a transition.
I guess any job can be a transition
job. Any job
can
be a transition job if it's a model that just doesn't work, and they've never changed it to accommodate. They were doing an Xbox. The irony is, like, the Xbox, like, they were boycotting selling Xbox games in the UK when GameStop, because they were doing the Xbox Game Pass, like, oh, it's killing our sales. Not 4 months ago, GameStop was about to introduce a Game Pass thing where you could rent games from them. And they scrubbed it.
Hmm.
So they have themselves to blame for that. So I don't know. It's kind of ironic that they're like, we're not going to carry Xbox. Like, you had the opportunity to do this yourself. It's like, it reminds me of like, they're going the way of Blockbuster.
That's exactly what I was about to compare them to. Like, because they're starting to sell memorabilia. Like, yeah. They're starting to sell, like, Harlequin statues and, like, Fallout 4 statues and, yeah. like, beanies and all these knickknacks. I mean, they acquired ThinkGeek. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have all the ThinkGeek stuff or a lot of the ThinkGeek little knickknackery in there. But, I mean, that's taken over by Loot Crate and all the crates now. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Let's get to a song because we're at almost 38 minutes now.
Wow.
Let's get to a song. This is going to be Follow the First Movement of the Odyssey by Incubus off of the Halo 2 soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a big throwback. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show. You're listening to it exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
Right now I'm Dustin, but the future may hold great wonders.
Is anyone really Dustin? You just heard Follow the First Movement of the Odyssey by Incubus. Let's go ahead and talk about two big... What?
Sorry, that was so dumb. Sorry. Is anyone really Dustin?
I'm Dustin. We didn't talk about it, a lot of the stuff that I did, but I think we're going to do it next show because
he
just commands the microphone. that's absolutely fine. Let's go ahead and talk about two of the one story is like going to upset people because they were really looking forward to it, and that is BioWare Anthem, the thing that effectively killed Andromeda, more or less, the development of not only that, but BioWare's Anthem, which is an awesome Destiny competitor, Monster Hunter World competitor, Final Fantasy, just WoW competitor. It's a competitor in so many regards, allegedly. I'm looking very forward to this game. I'm looking forward to it because I love this Iron Man aspect of this feeling of going in fighting, and if that could have been, honestly, if WildStar would have been better, I would have loved to play WildStar instead of WoW. If WoW had this StarCraft World of StarCraft came out, I'd love to play that. And Anthem seems to be an MMO version of Mass Effect. It seems to be this sort of really cool, you get in a suit and you go out, everybody's an Iron Man, and you fight big, crazy things.
Here's why I'm not as excited as you are.
Okay.
Three reasons. One. EA.
It's EA. I knew it.
Two. It's EA.
It's EA.
Three. I heard it's EA.
I think it's EA. It's
no,
the rumors.
Well, one is that it's EA. Two is that what I'm seeing there with Anthem is I'm seeing EA. This doesn't seem like a path. This seems like, Destiny's popular, and let's do something like Destiny.
Which makes sense. Destiny was released in 2011?
11, I think. This was we need something to compete with Destiny because Destiny's popular and it makes money. Two, I'm worried, I'm worried about the mentality of EA is, are they going to make me pay for upgrades with microtransactions? Because those are coming back in Star Wars Battlefront 2. Our reason they cited poor sales for it was sold a million less copies than they wanted. The reason why they cited it was because of the Loot Crate controversy.
Yep.
So they're bringing it back.
Yep.
I've never heard of a more backwards thing in my life.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm glad that you brought that up because I was reading that article today. It was on Kotaku. I was reading it. And I was just like, wait. Well, let me go back to that headline. And then it's like updated. And I read it. I was like,
You're reading it wrong.
No. It's like, oh, clearly the author like typed this incorrectly. No. They actually didn't type it incorrectly. That is what they mean.
Yeah.
We didn't sell as many. So we're going to bring the thing back. That was such a big deal.
And the last thing is, apparently the reason why they're pushing Anthem is also because they want to release a Battlefield game. And I'm like, I guess that's your announcement that a new Battlefield's coming out this year, I guess. And I don't care about a new Battlefield anymore.
I have Battlefield 1 available to me to play in, like, Origin Access. Like, I pay $5 a month to EA just so I can play. Like, I really want to just play Inquisition. I just haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
I could have waited and saved $55 if I would have just not bought Andromeda, because now that's in access as well, you know, eight months after it was released. But they... I worry about EA. I don't worry about BioWare. Like, BioWare Montreal, who is responsible for Andromeda, I thought Andromeda was an okay game. I did not dislike...
It was middling.
I didn't dislike it. That's the thing. It was a Mass Effect game that without Shepard, without a lot of the characters that I really cared about, but it was still a Mass Effect game. And, you know, you take the good with the bad, but you make it known that I didn't like this, and the next time you do this, don't do this way.
And
you learn from it.
That's fine.
You don't kill it. You don't kill it when it's such a successful series and it's been very good to players and to fans. I don't know, I feel like it's disingenuous to say, well, like, hey, if you voice your opinion about how bad something is, we'll just cancel it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did, you know?
But that's the thing. There wasn't any real, I don't think there was any real feeling behind Mass Effect Andromeda anymore.
No.
They just wanted to make another Mass Effect game.
Tired, dead eyes.
And that's the thing, is when you're doing it with tired, dead eyes, you really don't want to save it.
Right.
But if it was like, you know, with like Mass Effect 3, where there is a misstep at the ending or something like that.
Yeah.
Where if something like that, we're like, okay, we've kind of made a big mistake, and there's really a genuine want to really correct that and do something you didn't do with the other games, that wasn't what Mass Effect Andromeda was.
No, it seemed like more of a money grab than...
It reminded me of Call of Duty.
Similar to Call of Duty, you know, I thought they did a lot of things to advance. Honestly, it looked like a lot of the Anthem tech that we're going to see that's going to be a lot more polished was in Andromeda. You know, the jumping around, the platforming aspect, I loved it. The platforming was fantastic. The fighting was really good. I didn't have any of, like, the big issues that people had with it. I thought it worked really well. It wasn't 1, 2, or 3's combat mechanics, but if that's what Anthem has, and from the demo, from the incredibly staged demo that they had, that looks to be what they did, and they're polishing it, then awesome. That's great. They're using Frostbite, and they're going to actually build parts of Frostbite around Anthem, which is sort of the intention for these big giant games, is don't use Unity to build a super AAA game that's going to have a bunch of things that Unity doesn't support. Right. Thank you.
I'm worried about, my concern is I'm worried about the guys at EA making a really great game, and then the guys in charge in EA will ruin it.
But the guys at BioWare making a really good game.
And the BioWare making a
BioWare making a good game, EA destroying it.
And then EA...
Very possible.
What is this? There's something else you wanted to get to today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
I'm
sorry.
I don't know what this is.
That first thing, BioWare, it doesn't technically delay, but it's EA says it's not delayed. I think BioWare did say it's delayed. 2019, so whatever. Now, the thing that I want to talk about is that over last week, Twin Galaxies, which is an organization, I think, in Florida that is in charge of keeping records and high scores for video games. And they've done this since the arcade era.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They are featured in documentaries like King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, other documentaries that are about video gaming and whatever.
Right.
They are in charge of looking at it, validating it, verifying it, and recording it for posterity. So anytime you're like, Speedrunner did this, it's this new thing, you can go to Twin Galaxies and you can see that score. You can post it there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
you
that.
Can even stream it. They'll record the stream, and that somebody will put eyes on it and will beat, you know, will say that you beat this, whatever.
They're like Guinness, like, world records for video games.
Well, Guinness actually recognizes Twin Galaxies officially, so anything that Twin Galaxies says, Guinness will publish.
Wow.
They're really, really good, and they've been that way for a long time.
Very reputable.
And yes, very reputable. It was started by one guy, Walter Day, and I think he's still like, he wears a referee uniform at work, and he's this old man now, and he's retired officially, but he was this really cool guy that just wanted to run video game tournaments and, like, get the best of the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was this really fun-loving guy. Anyway, there's a lot of controversy about Twin Galaxies, or has been in the past, and mainly around, like, favoritism towards certain things. There was this guy, Billy Mitchell, who was the King Kong champ and the Centipede champ and all of these champs, and he was just this jerk of a guy. In reality, he actually kind of wasn't, but he was made into a villain in Fistful of Quarters, Donkey Kong, Fistful of Quarters, or King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. Excellent documentary. I recommend everybody watch it. It is super... there's, like, a narrative, like a sub-narrative about Billy Mitchell being a monster of a person when he's just a guy that's, like, you know, he's kind of got this bigger, larger than life following, like a cult leader following, but that's just a persona that he puts on. It's just how he does it.
Yeah, it's a show.
It's a show. It's a big show. Anyway, knowing what Twin Galaxies is, knowing what Guinness is, Guinness Book of World Records is, not the other Guinness. Anyway, there was this record that was for the game Dragster on the Atari 2600. Dragster is a shifting game. You have these two cars, and there's the computer that's controlling one of the cars, and you're controlling the one on top or whatever. And whenever the green light go, or whenever the game starts, you press a button to shift the dragster. And the amount of shifting that you do at the right time will make the car go faster or slower.
Right.
And Todd Rogers held a score of 5.17 seconds of this game. That is the smallest, fastest score that you can have in that game. Mm-hmm. And over the years, it has been refuted. He took a Polaroid, I think, and sent it to Activision, and then Activision said, hey, Twin Galaxies, he did this. And Twin Galaxies says, okay. And that was before Twin Galaxies was really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there since 1982. I think it was not 5.17, it's 5.51 milliseconds. And 51 milliseconds, excuse me. Anyway,
goodness.
It was more impressive. Five seconds and 51 milliseconds.
But as
technology has kind of come out, and he's got way more than just this one game of a record. He's got tons of records.
Mm-hmm.
As technology kind of increased, people have gotten really close. Like one guy got 5.57 milliseconds, mm-hmm. 5.53, I think, maybe even milliseconds. But it never beat Todd Rogers' score. Well, what they did is they took the game, they stripped the game out, and they actually removed all of the – they did a perfect shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that, like, it's impossible to get 5.51 milliseconds. Like, it's ridiculous. You can't do that. And they're like, hey, so you got something to tell us, Todd? And Todd's like, nope, this is 100% accurate. And they're like, well, do you have any proof? And he's like, nope, Activision has it. And Activision's like, we don't have it anymore. And also it was like could have been Photoshopped. Or whatever. And this has come out before where they've looked at videos or whatever of take VHS tapes or whatever, and you can see pixel differences, like it's been superimposed or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, this isn't the first time that they have refuted or have declined or dismissed a score, but this was a big one. 1982. It was so long ago, and they recently refuted it. They said, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that anymore. Big turn of events. Guinness now has officially removed the standing now too. They're like,
oh, no.
And I think it's gone to the guy that got 5.53 or 5.57, which is kind of neat. I mean, it seems like such a weird thing to do. You don't want to be a liar.
40 years.
Right. Well, it gets even crazier because they didn't just remove, like, Twin Galaxies didn't just remove Todd Rogers' one game score. They removed all of them.
Oh, whoa.
All of his game scores are now completely nixed, refuted. Yeah, it's 35 years. It's really, really crazy. Now, the weird thing is that, there's articles about this thing, the 30th year anniversary and everything, about how it's, oh, yes, the oldest gaming, longest standing record. That's the thing. It's the oldest still standing record, or was. And it apparently was totally fake. So I read it on Kotaku the other day that Todd Rogers completely disqualified from everything in at Twin Galaxies, which is really cool. And I don't know. It's one of those weird things I guess people don't really hear about much. They don't hear about, like, world records. World first and WoW. And that's Twin Galaxies would hold that, like, the world record first. But, I mean, that seems, like, so commonplace now. We don't hear about people doing 2,600 games anymore.
Yeah.
But it's still totally a thing. People play it now.
That's amazing that it just springs back up after 40 years.
It hasn't. That's the thing. It wasn't like it was dead. People would always be like, and about that Todd Rogers thing. And everyone's like, blah, Todd Rogers, whatever. No, he set the score. You know, you're just a sore loser. But, I mean, now it's like, no, actually, all of those people were correct. Like, it was impossible.
So, like, they look at the code and they're like, you cannot actually obtain that number.
Right.
It's unobtainable.
And there was also, like, some basic logic that the guy was throwing out. Like, there's 490-something shifting combinations, and the guy's like, no, when you shift, the game registers at either a shift or not a shift. There's like 9 appropriate ways to play the game, and it's incredible. He's like, you're taking away that, you're not considering the human element. And they're like, there's no human element.
Yeah.
You're playing the game fine, but I mean, there's elements to the game that, I mean, you're just not going to
beat the code it can
That's
have.
The thing. That's the thing. It's like you're suggesting that the game has some soul to it that allows it to, like, some randomness. And there's no randomness to this game. It is its game. That's
These
how
numbers
it is.
Cannot be more or less than what they are.
Right. It's
math.
It's math. It's ridiculous. And it's fairly simple math. I mean, the game, when you look at any 2600 game, you're like, yeah, I mean, that's that's less than that's a 700 kilobyte game or something, a 768 kilobyte.
Oh, there's some simple math going on behind the scenes.
Super simple math, because it has to be fast, because, I mean, the 2600 was an awesome console, but it wasn't, like, a supercomputer, even at the time. Like, it was, right. wasn't very good.
I think my calculator on my phone runs more.
Oh, it absolutely does. Almost everything. Smartwatches, that donut that you're eating, everything is faster than 2600.
This donut runs Skyrim.
That's it. Everything runs Skyrim now. It's going to be on, I heard that Fitbit officially is killing off the Pebble in, I think, May or June.
Really?
Yeah, they're officially ending support. So sad, sad stuff.
Bye, Pebble.
We are out of time. Those were the two news stories I want to talk about. I guess next week I'll get to talk about what I did over
I'm
the break.
Sorry.
It's okay. 2 hour EXP show. Here we go. Anyway, this is the Experience Points Radio Show. We are Matt and Dustin. We have a website, exppoints.com. Always double tap the P. Check out our news reviews, our blogs. If we start doing vlogs, because who doesn't want to be like Jake Paul and everybody?
Who the hell's Jake,
Jake
Paul?
Jake Paul. Isn't Jake Paul? That's what's his face? Is Jason? What's the Paul that?
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul's brother. Jake Paul's the one that was on Disney. Logan Paul's the one who had a brother that was on Disney that showed suicide.
Yeah,
yeah, anyway.
And then he came out with
he
this
came
suit.
Back. He came back. He came back two Wednesdays ago or last Wednesday.
What do you mean he came back?
I mean, he made his gallant return to YouTube, and he said...
Oh, yeah, he posted a suicide video, not out of any real need for that.
It was just sort of like emotional piano and a different haircut and, like, bokeh...
Just when I thought I couldn't hate him anymore.
Right.
he did that.
We have
Come
a,
at me.
We have a social media site as well, exppoints.com/social, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, Steam community, all of that. Check us out on the ARC server. We might try to put some more servers up, and we'll go ahead and we'll have that.
It's like Harvey Weinstein doing a video about sexual harassment in the workplace. Sorry, I'm still on it. But yeah, go ahead.
We're going to end this episode. Play the what's that? The Grammys. Do they have the wrap it up music?
Yeah,
Play the wrap it up music. We're going to end with MC Frontalot, Gold Locks, off of, I want to say this is the latest album that was released, like, I don't know, maybe 2008 or 2009. He hasn't released anything very recently, but it's off of the Bedtime Stories one, so it's pretty cool. As I said, I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
You've been listening to the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Guys, you know what we haven't done in a while?